Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We always look forward to your call-in with your dialogue and discussion, your questions, your comments about the issue of the day. And lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about today a subject that I believe is timely, it is seasonal, and I believe we need to discuss it early on. The question is, why do we celebrate Christmas? You ever pondered that? Why do we celebrate Christmas? In this Christmas season, I believe it's imperative that we ask that question and answer it from a biblical worldview. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. It's our decision, our questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. An issue of each day is not predicated upon some ideological bent. It is not based upon some denominational dogma. We do not base our conversations and comments on a political desire, but what does the Word of God say? I call it having a central biblicist worldview. It is looking at the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and understanding what's happening on a global plane based upon the Word of God. So when we face the issues, we do so based on what I call the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And so may I commend that to you. A forever truth, unlike that which George Orwell spoke of. He's the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And you see that taking place every time Joe Biden stands and goes to the microphone. Have you ever noticed him, by the way? He'll finish speaking and turn around and shake hands with an invisible man, and then he'll turn around and Jill or someone will go to the platform and guide him on to the steps. I am embarrassed by that. He can't help it. He's cognitively depleted. But that's what the world is seeing as our leader. It's not just an embarrassment. It endangers all of America. But that whole element, ladies and gentlemen, looks at what we talk about as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots. They do not see it as truth. And they despise it, reject it. In fact, now, with the new owner of Twitter, Elon Musk, he says he's going to bring truth back to the forefront, allowing people to tell the truth without being shadow-banded or without being discounted or in some way refused to allow their speech to be heard or seen. So I'm looking forward to what he does in the future with that. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm surprised, saddened, and yet it's a real fact. One of the latest surveys said that 55% of Americans 18 to 29 years of age believe that there's no such thing as real truth. The statement is that each person determines their own version of truth is what 55% of Americans, 55% of those that are 18 to 29 years of age. This is the reason I go back to a statement by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint said, and I quote, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet, that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge to each of our listeners each and every day, that we'd seek the truth. There's no better place than the truth book, God's Word, the Bible. Listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to defend it even to death. And I believe the further we go in society, waiting for the rapture of the church to occur, I believe we're going to find a greater repression, evisceration, destruction, and rejection of what is called truth, especially from a Christian or conservative or patriot today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. There's a benchmark, wonderful, wonderful benchmark to identify the location of Tools for Time. About 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the flagpole and the flag, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. And Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word intends it to be so. So, ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Pastor Davis today. Pastor Davis hailing from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Always delighted to have him join me in the studio for our conversation on the issues each and every week. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for being here today. We're looking forward to talking about the question, why do we celebrate Christmas? We'll talk about that in just a moment, but just thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to what the Lord is going to say and do as we talk about this subject today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. First, I do honor the Lord, amen, for being first in my life.
Amen.
And I thank God, amen, for sending his son, Jesus Christ,
yes,
to be our Savior. And that is what we'll be talking about on today.
Amen.
Because that is what the subject of Christmas is really all about.
Absolutely.
More people need to understand more and more. It's not about the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad I don't have to wait till Christmas Day to unwrap my gift.
You got it.
But I thank God, amen, for his son, Jesus Christ, because mm-hmm. that is his gift to me,
mm-hmm.
not only to the world, but to me personally. And I thank God for him. I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years, amen, to all of my family and friends that are listening on today. We hope and pray that you will enjoy the subject.
Yes.
And amen, take down a few notes if you have to.
Absolutely.
Because I recommend it's important.
And if they're driving, don't take down the notes. Just
amen.
Remember them.
Amen. Don't take your hands off the steering wheel. By all means, let's make sure
first,
you do that.
When we first moved to Jacksonville about 40-plus years ago, somebody said, in Jacksonville, there's two types of people. And I said, what do you mean, two types of people? They said, the quick and the dead. If you're not quick on these highways, you're going to be dead.
That's for sure.
So when you see what's happening out there, especially as we get into the Christmas season, you find that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're now in the Christmas season. I don't know about you, but it's always an exciting time. It gets to be a little push season, a push time from the standpoint of ministry work or other professional, whatever work you may be in. It gets to a kind of a rush season. And it seems this year, more than any other year in my lifetime, and Pastor, I'm still under 100, it seems as though the time is literally flying by.
Yes,
but as we get into the Christmas season, we turn on the television, turn on the radio, pick up a newspaper or magazine, and we're confronted very quickly with some super sharp ads. In fact, constantly on television, they're talking about the deal for the day. And some of the deals for the day probably worth $5, and they say they're regular $50, but you can get them for $49 or $39. And I'm amazed by the promotion of gifts, of pushing people to buy items. We can talk about buying the Christmas gifts. We can begin to hear Christmas carols, and that's good. Good Christmas carols and Christmas singing. You can drive down the streets and the highways and byways in the cities and out in the countryside, and we're still able to see some breathtaking, beautifully decorated homes. In fact, a number of years ago, somebody, you know, one of the anchor people on Fox News bragged about the fact that he had over 10,000 light bulbs or 10,000 Christmas tree bulbs decorating his home, showed the picture of it, the scene at night, and said that during the course of Christmas, he would spend about $5,000-$7,000 for his power bill just to run those lights in order to have the best looking decorations. Now, I say that because, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that will get into the habit at Christmas season of one-upmanship. Who can put up the greatest number of lights? Who can have the greatest Christmas scene? But, ladies and gentlemen, some have the lawns covered with Santa Claus, reindeer, and other things of that nature across the lawn. It's evident what I'm trying to get us to see. It's evident that we're in the Christmas season.
Amen.
Of which we should be grateful and thankful. During the Christmas celebration, families and children out of school, out of work, at home, having the wonderful opportunities to celebrate Christmas together. And this Christmas around the globe, millions of Americans and millions around the world, because Christmas is celebrated in some fashion around the world. I watched a travel video broadcast the other night on television. It was fascinating to see some of the evidences of how other nations and other peoples and other languages and other people groups were celebrating Christmas. But the thing that is exciting to me is that as I understand it, every people group around the world in some way, in some fashion, celebrate Christmas. But I want us to ask the question, why do we celebrate Christmas? Pastor, it's not a matter do we celebrate Christmas. It's not a matter of the nations around the world celebrating Christmas. But I think the rudimentary fundamental question needs to be asked, why do we celebrate Christmas?
Amen.
And more and more, each Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen, I'm made to believe that many people never realize, never consider, never recognize, never understand fully why we celebrate Christmas. I believe too many people fail to recognize that the focus of Christmas ought to be on the one whose birthday we're celebrating.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. It's his birthday. There's an old cliche been used for many, many years. I think it started back in the 60s. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I still believe that. I believe that when we celebrate Christmas, we need to focus on the Christ of Christmas. We need to focus on whose birthday it is. We've talked about it several times because in our church, we celebrate Jesus' birthday celebration. In fact, this month, it will be on the 18th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon here at our church. It's Jesus' birthday celebration. And the question that is asked generally, what if it were your birthday and there's a birthday party and you go to that birthday party and everybody is giving and receiving gifts, but you don't give one, but it's your birthday? It's Christ's birthday. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. What do we give him for his birthday
Amen.
Present?
Amen. That's a good one.
It's a question that most people never ask.
Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, the flip side of that coin,
mm-hmm.
if we can talk about this just for a minute.
Yes.
There are others who regret to see this season come.
That's right.
Because 2 months ago, They celebrated evil. Mm-hmm. They celebrated dead things. Mm-hmm. And we sat back in patience and let them have whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. As much as it vexes my soul.
Yes.
When October comes around and they're celebrating and glorifying dead things, mm-hmm. and witchcraft and all these things that pertain to the devil.
No call.
As soon as we get ready to celebrate our Savior in the month of December, they have a problem with even seeing the name of Jesus Christ up in lights or up on a sign, or even passing by a church and seeing a cross sitting mm-hmm. out in the yard.
Right.
Much less if we start talking about the manger scene and all the other things that are connected with Christmas. There are others, Dr. Youngblood, who's going to throw rocks at that.
Yes. In fact, you touch on that and it brings it to my mind. And I've not read many articles this season. It's not quite that time for it to start really boiling and coming to the forefront. But city after city, community after community, with the city fathers and community leaders, year after year after year, they will ban the Christmas scenes in the center of the cities. Many cities banned anything that's called the wreath or a cross or the Christmas carols or the manger scene. Banned that because, as you said, they look at it with rejection. They look at it as something that ought not to be because it's pointing to the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But many people never recognize and focus on the real reason for the season. And the season is to honor Jesus Christ. It's His birthday. Jesus Christ came into this world, and it's God come into flesh, theologically, doctrinally speaking. It's God incarnate. It is Jesus Christ, God come into flesh. And we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, because of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I have pondered this for the purpose of this broadcast today. And in pondering it, asking the question, then why should we celebrate Christmas? That's the question that I want our listeners to ponder. By the way, I'd love to hear from you. Why are you celebrating Christmas this season? What is it about Christmas that causes you to be excited or that you want to share gifts or to light a tree or to put out decorations? What is Christmas about to you? What perhaps you'd want to share some extraordinary Christmas that you've had in Christmas past. That telephone number is 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. Why do we celebrate Christmas? But first and foremost, Pastor, we celebrate Christmas because in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the angel announcing the birth of Jesus called his birth good news.
Amen.
Good tidings in the King James. That means good news. So we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is good news.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ came into the world. And that good news would be, according to Luke, and we'll read that in a moment, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said that it would bring great joy to all people. Now, there's two things there in Luke 2, 10 and 11. Read those verses for us, Pastor. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. It's the angel announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read verses 10 and 11.
Amen. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. You know, that's usually the first thing mm-hmm. that happens to especially people that don't know the Lord. Fear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Fear and faith does not occupy the same space right. at the same time.
Antithetical.
So the angel said, fear not, for behold, that means to look close with intent, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see how God didn't leave
that's
anybody
right.
out?
All people.
All that- people. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
The Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just break that down and let's ponder that for just one moment. The announcing angel, by the way, here are the shepherds in the field. They're anxious when they see the light and when they see what is taking place. And the angel says to them, good news. Jesus Christ's birth, the announcing angel said that his birth is good news. Good news. Why should it be good news? What is good news about it? But he goes on to say then, and that good news would bring great joy to all people. So what is it that is the good news that brings great joy to all people? And that good news, ladies and gentlemen, that brings great joy to all people, is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Pastor, read that for us, and then we'll talk about those three verses. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Amen. A fascinating read in that. The context is where Joseph is in a dream. He's thinking about putting away Mary because she's found to be with child. And the angel speaks to Joseph. He's anxious about what is happening. And the angel speaks to Joseph and says this. Read that verse.
Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
So, Pastor, what I'm wanting us to understand for our listeners to listen up on is the announcement. We celebrate Christmas because it's good news, good news, and it will bring great joy to all people. That is, to each and every people group in the world. It'll bring great joy. That good news should bring great joy to every person in every ethnic group, every language group, every national group around the globe. For past, present, and future, as we celebrate Christmas, may I remind us, it is good news. It brings great joy to the whole world. And why is it good news? Why does it bring great joy? Because Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, indeed. The good news, the great joy, is that Jesus Christ came in this old world, God come in the flesh, to save his people from their sins. Jesus came into the world, the scripture says, to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
And we celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Let's remember that we're celebrating the birth of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate it not because of gift giving, not because of Christmas carols, not because of the beautiful lights, not because we have a day off, not because it's generally good food, but because it's good news.
Amen.
It brings great joy to all of the world that Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Because why is that such great joy and good news? Because all of us are in need of a Savior.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, it gives me great joy.
Amen.
To know that I have a name that I can call upon.
Yes.
The Bible says it's above every name.
That's right.
That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee.
Amen.
That's the black knee, the white knee, the brown knee, the crippled knee.
That's right.
The knee with the author.
That's right.
And one and the rightus and the other one.
You got it.
All of those knees are going to bow.
That's right.
And every tongue, the deaf mute, the one that can't speak, that tongue is going to confess one day,
Jesus,
because
Christ,
the scripture says it, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Now, what I love about this, Dr. Youngblood, and it makes me, I'm excited right
Amen.
Now.
Go ahead.
Praise God. Because he already knew his name.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know his name.
Right.
So God had to send him here and provide him with a name that we could call upon so that we could recognize who God is.
That's right.
And I thank God for that.
Well,
now, again, we don't have to wait until Christmas.
That's right.
To unwrap this great gift that God gave us.
It's open today.
We can unwrap that gift every day of our lives, and that's a name we can call upon every day as long as we live.
That's right.
And I thank God for that.
Amen. Pastor, you touched on it so eloquently and so correctly, because keep in mind now, we're threading the needle, painting the picture. Jesus Christ coming is good news. That good news is to bring great joy to all people.
Amen. Amen.
And that good news that brings great joy to all people is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
As Matthew 1:21 says, that he came into the world to save his people from their sins. And ladies and gentlemen, we're all sinners. Listen very carefully. There's some that have the philosophy and the attitude that I'm a good person. I've had people say that I keep all of the Ten Commandments. Well, when they say that, you need to talk about lying, because it's an impossibility to keep all the law, according to Scripture. Jesus came not to abridge, to abrogate, to bridge, to change, to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17. 5:17, 5:17. And as we understand it, we're all sinners. Why are we sinners? Because sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and therefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, the scripture says.
Amen.
So as a result of it, ladies and gentlemen, because the fall of Adam and Eve, because the fall of the first man, because the first sin in Genesis, the third chapter, we find that all of us are guilty of sin. You don't have to commit sin to be guilty of sin. If you're alive and breathing, we're all sinners.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is sinner, a sin. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and we're the lost. And we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord because we're all sinners. We all need deliverance from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
Remember, this Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, came into the world to die on Calvary's cross to shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as I. And ladies and gentlemen, that's good news. That should bring great joy. And that good news that brings great joy to all people is that Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, into this world to die on the cross.
Amen.
To save us from our sins.
Amen.
It takes a volitional choice, though, Pastor. Jesus Christ coming is God's gift to the world. But as you said earlier, we don't have to wait until Christmas Day to unwrap that gift.
Amen. And you know,
it's our prayer that people would say yes to Jesus even today.
Amen. The other part connected to what we just read, when he said he came to bring good tidings of great joy to all people.
That's right.
Even those who hate him, Dr. Youngblood, he came to save them too.
Absolutely.
So my God, I mean, you know, when we're looking at a God that loves people in spite of who they are,
mm-hmm.
and in spite of them hating him, he died on the cross for their sins too. Mm-hmm. When we look at these Al-Qaeda people that just hate, I mean, you know, they're very, all of their teachings.
Mm-hmm. It's based on hate and destroying people.
And against Christians,
mm-hmm.
and against our leader, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know and understand, if they hate Christ, they hate us too because we're wearing his name.
You got it.
So therefore, we don't do as they do because that's the way they act. We have to love them also in spite of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying love what they do, but pray for them that God will open their eyes, that they can see that they need this great Savior that we are talking about on today.
Good news.
Amen.
Bring great joy to all people.
All people.
All people.
Amen.
Every group, every ethnic group, every language group around the world. But, Pastor, not only do we find the angel announcing the good news that brings great joy to all people, we find that good news is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost, that Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. But there's a third point that I believe we need to talk about, and that is that we celebrate Christmas by gift giving. And why do we give gifts? It's because Jesus Christ is God's incredible, indescribable gift to humanity.
Amen.
We share that good news and that great joy with friends and family by giving and receiving gifts. It is emblematic of the greatest gift that's ever given, and that's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, God's Son, that God came into the world in the form of man, died on Calvary's cross, shed his rich red royal blood for each and every one on the face of the globe. And the knowledge of that, the recognition of that, should be the good news that brings great joy to all men. But, Pastor, that being said, and we recognizing that, I want us to talk about for several minutes, what if Jesus Christ had never come?
My.
What if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? What if Jesus Christ had never come into the world? What would the world be like? What would take place if he had never come into the world? In fact, I'm going to read you a quote, and then we'll go to our news break. Dr. D. James Kennedy, in his book, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born, said, if Jesus had never been born, America would not exist. We would not have air conditioning, TV, no TV, no airplane, no scientific research and discoveries, no cure for diseases, no medicine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if Jesus Christ had never been born. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, why do we celebrate Christmas? I pray that you'll stay tuned. Be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.